Hey, good morning. Happy Easter to you guys. Next Sunday, this place, we want this place packed out. We want so many people in here to hear about the Lord and the resurrection. So listen, we want to encourage you guys, if you got friends out there that normally don't go to church, get them to this church. Do you know why this church is here? It's not for church folk. It's for the others of us that like grew up on the other side of the tracks. You know what I mean? So if you guys got some friends or something that you can invite or somebody that God's laid on your heart to show up next Sunday, bring them. Let's pack this place out because you know what's going to happen. I'm going to preach the word of God to them and I believe people are going to get saved. And that's what we're looking for. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's grab our Bibles and head on over to the book of Ephesians. We're in a series called Ephesians. And I'm going to pray and we're going to get started. Lord, we love you. Oh, I'm excited about this word today, Lord. I can see it already. I'm so thankful for what you showed me in study, Lord. And I pray that you open our eyes to see it. Open my mouth to proclaim it with boldness, God. Lord, and I pray that we leave this church, this place, different than we walked in here. That's our goal, to be like you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Ephesians, let me get over there. Ephesians chapter 4, we're just going to take verses 1 through 7 this morning. And last week, Paul, as we're going through this, you guys know where he's at. Paul's in prison, but he's okay. Don't feel sorry for him because he's okay being in there. And so he's writing these prison epistles to his friends. And we've got the book of Ephesians here. And last week, he was talking to his friends, and he was telling them about all that God wants to do in their life. He's like, listen, if you could ever think, if you could ever imagine, if you could ever have hopes, God wants to exceed that. He doesn't want to meet that. And I think a lot of the time when we set goals for our lives or visions in our lives or where we want to be in 5 years in Christ from now than we are now, we set our boundaries and our vision and our goals way far too low. Paul said, to him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than ever we could ask or imagine. Exceedingly and abundantly. He's like making up words. The guy doesn't, he's so excited, he doesn't even know what to say. God's going to do more than you could ever imagine. So check this out. If the vision you have for your life is not impossible for you, it's insulting to God. The vision, the goal, where you want to be in Christ, the way you want to raise your family up, your babies, your children, your marriage, how you're living. If it's not impossible, because how many of you guys know sometimes it seems Christianity almost seems like it's impossible to like do to be Jesus. But we got to get those boundaries. He's like, drop those boundaries, move those fence posts back. Because God wants to do so much more in your life than you're ever thinking. He's like, man, I want you to know the height, the width, the depth of God's love. And he's like, besides all that, exceedingly and abundantly more, God wants to do in your life. Do you believe that? Okay, then walk in it. Because see, sometimes you guys know enough, but we're not doing enough. So step out on that. Step out on it. That's what he was encouraging us to do, to step out more in faith to what God wants to do in our life. And the reason why is because he doesn't want us wasting our life. And I know if I was to ask you to raise your hand right now, do you know anybody who's wasted their life? You'd be like, yep. The regrets, the shame, the I could've, I would've, I should've. I don't want to be there. I tell you, I'm not going to be there. I won't be there. Because God's got a different path for me. He's got a different life for me and for you. He doesn't want us wasting our life. You know, and that's the problem is we can come and fall into complacency and get comfortable and we end up wasting our life away. I saw this guy, maybe you've seen him on YouTube. I saw him in Yahoo on my email. And by the way, they said if you have Yahoo for email, you're old. Is that true? Yeah. Okay. I'll get something else. What, Gmail? What's cool? I don't know. Hey, Yahoo's still cool, Yahoo Mail. So anyways, I was reading Yahoo Mail, and this guy, listen to this, he had won $8 million, and then in 1 week, blew it, and he got busted shoplifting at Kmart for $350 worth of house appliances. $8 million 1 week later, busted at the store for shoplifting. Can you imagine that waste? We're just like, what? Such waste, such potential, so much you could have done. And Paul's like, listen, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking to you, my friends in Ephesus. That's what exactly I'm talking to you, my friends at Ark Bible Church in Newport. There's so much potential in us that it can get wasted. It can get totally thrown to the curb. And Paul's like, no more of that. I'm calling you guys, God's calling you guys to something higher. And he's preaching this to them. And so now as we get into chapter 4, that's really the vibe of where Paul's at. Don't waste your life. Don't waste what God's given you. You're gifted. And this word gifted is going to be coming up through these next few verses. And there's so much here, man. I want to take it all. But you guys will end up getting upset at about the 35-minute mark. So I'm going to keep it down to where we can get to the point of this and get out of here and live it. So this is what Paul's saying in chapter 4. Because God wants us to be perfect. Did you know that? Not mediocre. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. And Jesus said this. Now, if Jesus says this, you got two options. You can believe him or be like, he didn't mean that. And this is what Jesus said. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, how many of you guys checked that box off this morning? Now, be honest, because the one sitting next to you will get that hand right back down, right? None of us woke up and said, yeah, I'm perfect. But Jesus says, I want you to be that. I want you to be perfect as what? Your heavenly Father is perfect. And so when the Bible talks about perfection, it talks about it in three different ways. Positional, Paul said that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So we're there now, perfect because of the redeeming blood of Jesus. And then there's eternal, which means for all eternity, you are going to stay perfect, meaning you're never going to have nothing on me. You're never going to be able to say nothing about me. I'm going to be good. You're going to be good. And you're going to be good forever. Eternal perfection, positional perfection, and then progressive progression. And that's what Paul's dealing with us today. Right now, we're in that progression where we're trying to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I know it's hard work, and Paul's going to challenge us on it, but he's going to show us some things about it that we're to go and to grow in the image of Christ. You know, God loves you where you're at. You remember that saying? Old pastors say this all the time. God loves you where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And so Paul's like, listen, we're gonna walk this thing out. And now he starts going into how we're going to do that. You guys ready? Verse 1, chapter 4. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. He says, I'm begging that you walk worthy of the calling of which you were called. Beseech means begging. I'm begging that you walk worthy. Now, the cool thing was, is he says, I'm the prisoner of who? Oh, you guys should be watching this up on the screen. Now, I know you didn't bring your Bible, but did you see who he's a prisoner to? He says, I prisoner to the Lord. And I love that because we were talking about that last week when he says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I told you, someone needed to tell Paul, man, you got to get your facts straight because you're locked up. You're a prisoner to Nero, man. You're a prisoner to Rome. And he goes, oh, don't tell me that. See, he had a proper perspective in prison. And he knew who he belonged to, and he knew who was in charge of where he was at while he was there. And he wasn't pressing up against the glass mirror when he had visitation saying, get me out of here. Call my lawyer. I didn't do it. You know what Paul was doing? He's like, hey, you know what? I'm in this place. And as long as I'm in this place, I'm expecting you to do something while I'm here, Lord. Hey, how many of you guys are praying for God to take you out of something when he's trying to work with you in it? How many of us are praying, God, get me out of debt? God's like, nope, I'm going to work you in debt. God, get me out of this loneliness. No, I'm going to work in that to where I'm all you need. How many of us pray to God, God, just get me out of this mess? And God's saying, I'm not going to get you out of it, but I will develop you in it. Man, some of us need to remember this. This is where God does his work, is in this mess. We get strong there. And I know we pray, God, get me out of it. But you know what he's saying? I'm going to work in it. And that's what you want. You don't want God to get you out of debt when the reason why you're there in the first place never gets fixed. You don't want God to put somebody in your life because you're alone when the reason why you feel so lonely is because you need Jesus. Nobody's going to come your way that can take his place. Nobody's going to be there for you like he can be there for you. And so we got to learn this. And Paul says, look, I'm not looking to get out of it. I'm looking for you to do something in it. And I think some of us have been waiting and wondering and wishing for things to be different. But God's got a word for you right now. Let him work while you're there. Instead of looking to get out of it, say, God, what are you going to do in it? And I'm not saying that's an easy place to be. I don't like that place. But I will say this. The reason why I'm here today is because I was stuck there before. And the reason why God does this is so he can strengthen us and develop us. So Paul's like, hey, listen, I'm not looking to get out. I'm a prisoner, not of my circumstances, but of Jesus. Hey, have a right perspective in prison, okay? So Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, and whenever we see therefore, come on, you churchy people, what's it there for? And so what Paul's doing is now that he's getting into what we're to do, how we're to live, he's basing it off of everything he just got done saying in chapter 3. Do you guys remember what he said in chapter 3? That he saved us, raised us, and he sat us. Meaning before we do anything, we realize what Christ has already done for us. Do you know how many people, like, start serving the Lord, and they get burned out, and they start doing all this stuff before they realize that God just wants them to sit and rest and chill and enjoy his love? That's why Paul gave that progression. He saved us, raised us, and sat us down, and now he goes into what we do. You know, check this out. Jesus talked about this person, and he used a story about a flower, and he said this flower grew up really fast. You guys remember that story? It was in Matthew chapter 13. And he says this flower grew up really fast, and because it had no root, the sun came out and it hit that flower, and what happened? It died. It killed it. And the reason why is because it had no root. And so when you see people, sometimes these people, this is what they look like, and if you've been in church long enough, you know this. They come into the church, they're the hopping hallelujahs, they got the bigger Bible than everybody, they're always doing everything, wearing the Jesus shirts and the necklaces and all of this stuff, and you look at these people and you're like, man, look at everything they do. They're so busy and they're so engaged in God's work, and they got this big old Bible and they quote all this scripture and they say, hey, hallelujah, brother, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the next week they don't show up. And then you try to call them and they say, don't call me. Don't come by. Don't worry about how I'm doing. And you know why? Because they had no root. They got fried. They didn't realize that God wants us to sit in his love and his grace and his mercy, and out of what he's done for us, then we do for him. That's what 1 John said. John says we love each other because he first loved us. Meaning we do because he did. We're not looking to do for him to do. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? A place of rest. Someone needs to get this today. You better rest yourself before you wreck yourself. And by the way, when it comes to burnout, you know whose fault burnout is? Yours. You haven't developed roots. And man, I get it. We want to serve the Lord. We're grateful. But you can burn out grateful. You can burn out thankful. You can burn out happy with all God's done in your life. Paul said, listen, we're seated with Jesus and realize all that he's done for us before we start doing for him. You need to remind people that. Because some people, they bring their husbands into church and they're like, man, you just got to get into church. You need to read your Bible more. You need to be doing this. You need to do that. You know what's going to happen if you don't establish that your husband is loved by God just how he is? It's not going to turn into a relationship. It's going to turn into straight up rebellion. And I'll tell you right now, your man's not going to want to be in church. He's not going to want to have nothing to do with this. because he's not understanding that he's forgiven, he's saved, he's as he is. And yeah, I'm sure we've got a list a mile long on each other and everybody else. But you know what? We're saved by grace through faith, and that's where we start. And you guys got to tell people that. Man, we got to raise our kids up in that. I've never raised my kids up saying, you got to do this, you got to be this way. I've given my kids space to say, listen, God loves you. He gets you. He understands you. Sit in that for a little bit and then worry about how it works out later. Hey, you got to rest yourself before you wreck yourself. It's our fault. We're not resting. I want to encourage you, rest, 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 rest. Rest in what the Lord is doing and what he wants to do in our life. And so Paul, check out verse 2. He says, this is how we start walking it out. Now we start walking it out from a place of rest. He says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With all lowliness, bearing with one another in love, bearing with people who are hard to bear with. How hard is that? Like, if you were to put on an application, they're like, what are your interests? What are your strong points? You're like, oh, walking in loneliness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. You guys know what long-suffering means? To suffer long. And I know you guys are like, man, Jason, I need a couple more nuggets. Just like that. That one's so good. I just blew your mind, right? To suffer long. And that's not really our strong point. Our strong point is pride, arrogance, impatience, judging everybody. Jesus said this, judge not, lest you be judged. And he was talking about this guy that had a big old messed up piece of wood in his eye. He said, get the plank out of your brother's eye before you go looking about everybody else to take their speck out. And we have a problem with that. We're looking at everybody else's stuff, and in the meantime, we're really good at being hypocrites. And the Bible's like, man, listen, hey, give people grace like God gives you grace. Be patient like God's given you patience. And I'll tell you what, that is not my strong point. That's like the worst thing. I go to Starbucks, I'm going to tell you guys something. Don't judge me on this. But I'll go to Starbucks and I'll go up to the order window after I've waited like 3.5 minutes. And I pull up in the last minute and I'll say, I want my Grande Americano, 3 Splenda, and extra cream. And the girl will read it back. She goes, okay, you want a Grande Americano, 3 Splenda, and cream. And I'm like, no, I said extra cream, extra, extra cream. Like, it's which baby's going to live? Like, this is serious. And then I get up to the window and I see it's someone who comes to church. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, hey, that guy back there was crazy, right? All impatient and everything. Hey, you want to come to church? I could, like, that quick. And the Lord reminds me, hey, listen, we want to have patience and we want to be long-suffering with people. I feel so bad for those people at Starbucks. It's not even funny. Meekness, humbleness. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. Meek, 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 meek. You know, when they wrote this, the Greeks and the Romans didn't even have a word for humility. Paul made that up. The Christians coined it. Jesus established it because they saw meekness and humility as a form of weakness. But I'm going to tell you guys something. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is bowing and submitting our life to God, not man. Big difference. You know who's weak? When you can get pushed over by whoever you're hanging out with. That's weakness. When everybody around you has got power over you, that's weakness. Meekness, submitting to God and his will, that's power. And Paul's saying we need to be walking in that. And the reason why he gives that list of things that we are not, check this out, is because God's not looking for us to be decent people, but delivered people. He's not looking for us to be good enough. And I know that sometimes that's our goal, to get through the end of the day and not kill anybody or our kids. But we're not called to be decent people, but delivered people. And the way that God does this, check this out. I'm going to show you guys something. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, I don't know if you guys got that up there. But I'll read it to you. This is how God takes us from decent to delivered. Do you want to know? I do, because I struggle in it. And so this is what the Lord showed me. He says, dear brothers, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. In other words, what he's saying is that struggles against you strengthen you. That God will use temptations, trials, and struggles to stretch you. Now, he doesn't tempt you, but he will let you go into temptation. And it's in that moment where we're in those trials and we're struggling where you're getting stretched. It's kind of like when you guys go to the gym. I don't go to the gym. I pay my membership. It's kind of like charity. It's just money every month, baby. Money every month. Here, you guys need this. You're broke here, right? Just take my money. I don't need it. But I never go. That's God's honest truth. I go, I weigh. I weigh in on the scale because it's the only scale I can trust. And then I leave. That's the God's honest truth. I pay all that money a month to weigh. And the scale's just like you're still fat. But here's the thing. When you go into the gym, you know what you do? You stretch those muscles, right? And then they build up on each other, and they get stronger and stronger and stronger. And so what the Bible tells us about being delivered instead of just decent is that you're going to be in some places that are difficult. And I'll bet you there right now. And I'll bet you're wondering how long it's going to be. And I'll bet you're wondering how long it's going to last and what it's going to be like and how it's all going to work out. This is how it's going to work out. It's going to work out for your good and his glory. And God is going to do something while you're there. But it happens by that we have to be in those positions. We got to be in those positions for God to work it out. And I think sometimes, you know, when we don't work out, and I found this out as I'm getting older, is the slightest thing totally jacks me up. Getting out of bed. Like you're like, dude, you're really out of shape. Yeah. Watching TV. You're like, man, how do you get hurt watching TV? I have no idea. My neck is weak. Like my neck. I don't know. My neck meat. It's weird. Tying your shoes. You're like wanting to buy van slip-ons. Because the slightest thing hurts. And for a lot of us Christians, the slightest temptation and trial and struggle hurts. And God gets it. But he's like, listen, if you stand firm and in the strength of the power and of the Lord and in his might, he's going to do something in it. And so Paul's like, listen, all of this stuff I'm lining out, it's not going to be easy. It's hard. But you're getting stretched. So check this out. Every time you withstand temptation, every time you withstand the trial, every time that thing comes around again and you don't give into it, when the thing comes around again, it's easier to put down the next time it comes around. It gets easier and easier, and this is why we want to stand firm. It's not always going to be this hard because we have specific things that we struggle with, right? Sometimes it lasts years. And some people will look at you and, hey man, how come you're still wrapped up in all of that? You know, you're 30, 40 years old. Well, because you don't have my struggle. You don't have what's hard for me. You got what's hard for you, but what looks hard for me is easy to you. Again, we can't be judging people. Why don't you figure it out? Because it's hard. But I want to encourage you. God says, listen, I will give you strength and power to withstand. Resist the devil and he'll hang out? No. He's going to pick up and take his junk and hit the door. And it gets easier and easier. And so, Paul, check this out. We're going to wrap this up soon. It almost sounds kind of like something Bob Marley would write. Check out verse 4. He's all, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul's like Southern, y'all. He's like from Southern Tarsus, this guy. Now what he's talking about here, he's talking about unity in the body. And that if you're Christian, meaning you put your faith, your hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, you've been saved by grace through faith and not of a work of your own, then you're good. So we're all on the same bus going into the same direction. And what can happen is that we can have these divisions among us in our churches. So you might have drove by South Beach. You might have drove by the Nazarene. You might have drove by the Foursquare. You might have drove by something, you know, did I already say First Baptist? Maybe you drove by Glenn's church. And you got here, and we've got all these differences. But they're not made to divide us. You know, if you want to come to church and you want to wear a jean skirt and your head covering, grow out a beard, live in a tent off the grid, go for it. If you want to have drums in a church, let's do it. I mean, I'm down with that. But you know what? Some people won't even come in here because of that. Some people won't come in here because we don't teach out of the King James Version. But those are small differences. And we shouldn't get caught up about that. We're all doing things different. It's okay. It's cool. There's no problem with that. God's down with it. Now, obviously, there's big differences that we have that will divide us, such as who is Jesus? How are we saved? Things like that, we will cross the line, and there is division. You know, Paul got so upset about it because there was people who were distorting the gospel, and he said, and they were saying, you're saved by works and grace. And Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, check this out, he couldn't even, in the very first chapter of Galatians, he was so upset about this, he couldn't even get a few verses before he wrote this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. If we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be cursed. And you know what that gospel message was? You're saved by grace. God's did it. He's got you. Yeah, you're sinning now. He still got you. Yeah, you sinned then. He got you. Yeah, you're still going to deliberately sin, and he still got that too. People said, you know, if you think you ain't ever going to sin again, you know, you're doing it all wrong. You know, we sin because we like to sin. And I'm not saying we have a license to sin. I'm saying it's going to happen. And God's got it by grace. And so what Paul was saying, if anybody teaches anything but grace, get out my face. Just get out because I'm not hearing it. I'm going to shut it down right where you're at. And so, Paul, we've got some distinctions that we do need to draw the line on, but not on stupid little stuff. Man, if people came in here and saw that I had a tattoo on my arm, they'd be like, forget this. This guy's going to try and rob me on the way out of here. But you can be sleeved and saved. We already said that. So, Paul, check this out. He wants to close this out. And this is really what I want to just focus on. Those last few minutes. Are you guys hanging in there? I got to get you guys to get this before you get out of here because this is so important. It's going to change your life. You know why I do what I do is because I know it makes a difference because it's made a difference in me. And I want to share that with you. And if you listen to this next section, it's going to change your life. So just listen, just open up your ears a little bit and we're going to get out of here and we're going to live this. Check this out. This is about Paul. He's talking to his friends, and he doesn't want them to waste their life, and this is what he tells them. He says in verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given, thank you, Jesus, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, say it with me, ascended. That's important. I'm telling you say that because it's important. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now listen. There is so much in these next few verses, we can't even go over it. We just don't have the time. But I do want to get into this section here about what he's talking to us about wasting our life with what God has given us. Paul says that he ascended on high and he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So what he's telling his friends is that they're gifted. And he's like, I want you guys to walk worthy of your calling. Don't waste your life with what God wants to do in you and through you. This is so important to Paul. And so now he gives the reasons why they can live worthy of their calling to the fullness that God intended them to live, useful, impactful, and purposeful lives, because God's given them gifts to do it. So when you look at the person next to you, they're gifted. They got, and some of you guys know that. Some of you guys know the person that you're with or the person that you love, they may not see it in them, but you do. Is that, do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they're just like, man, they just don't see the potential. And you're like, man, I'm telling you, God's gifted you. I know you. I'm married to you. I live with you. I raised you. I know the gifts that you have in you. Let me ask you guys something. Do you know the gifts God has given you? Do you guys know the gifts that God's given you? Have you ever asked yourself, what gifts do you have? What does he want me to do? How does he want me to minister them? Why do I have them? Do you recognize it? Do you guys know how to develop it? This is so important. Check this out. We're talking about wasting your life. Do you know how to develop it? Do you recognize it? Do you see it? And the way that you guys answer this question right here will impact the rest of your life from the moment you get up and you go back out. This question is going to impact your life. It's going to impact what we do and the difference we make in Ark Bible Church in Newport. This question, you answering this question, is going to have an impact on your marriage. You guys want it, you want it to work. You need to start ministry at home first. So many times people get involved in church and do church stuff, and at home everything's messed up. You know where ministry starts? It starts at home. And the way you answer this question on what God has put into you has directly to do with the impact you make around you, with the way you're going to raise your kids when you have them, the way you're going to live. And so check this out. It's all centered on that question. And here's the amazing thing about those questions that Paul's trying for us to get in verses 7 through 8. We're going to close with this. But I want you to see something. He's tying the power to those questions to what Jesus did. So you remember when we said ascended? He's saying, listen, you guys are gifted, and it's not that just that you're gifted, but you got a power to exercise that gift like no other power. I'm going to get to that power in a second. Because you're like, oh yeah, it's power in Jesus. It gets better. Because how many of you guys know you can be really gifted, but you don't have no power to do what you got to do? People, there's plenty of people who are gifted. There's plenty of people. I was reading a story about this guy, and he was like this young guy, and he was a killer communicator. Like the guy could communicate, talk. And so they asked him, hey, would you mind preaching? And the guy was like, yeah, I'll get up there and I'll preach. And he was like all cocky, and he was coming up to the podium, and he got the Bible out, had all his notes prepared, and he was ready to go. And he got up there and he totally blew it. Forgot everything. Didn't even know what he was talking about. And halfway through, he got down and he just hung his head down and he just walked off and he sat down. And this little old lady went up to him and she said, son, had you walked up to the podium the way that you walked down, you would have been going down like you came up. And so we can have gifts. Man, you can be good looking, but beauty fails. It's fleeting. You can have a high IQ. You can have resources. But all that stuff's only going to take you so far. And so what Paul does, he knows that, and he says, okay, the power and the gift that you have in you is not dependent upon any of those things that you have. It's rooted in the power that God has, and the ascension part, check this out, has to do with Christ's resurrection from the grave. Now check this out. This is the point that he's making with this. We all got gifts. It's kind of like when you guys got married and people were giving you stuff, you know, the toaster, the bread maker, the food processor, all this junk that you guys never use. I feel sorry that you guys get that stuff. They need to give you money, amen? But they give you all these different gifts. And all those different gifts, although they're different, you know what they have in common? They all got a plug that plugs into the same power to run, right? And so Paul's saying, listen, you guys all got different gifts. They're all diverse, but it's all, we all plug into the same power, and that's Jesus Christ. So check this out. He answers the question in this verse. He says, but to each one of us, the grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And so what he's doing, he's saying that the power that we have is rooted in resurrection power. And I'm going to tell you guys something as we close this out. Worship team, come on up here. The power that God says that he's given us to exercise the gifts that you do have is rooted in resurrection power. And I'm going to tell you guys something. There's no kind of power like resurrection power. You guys want to know what resurrection power is? Do you believe the Bible? Let me ask you that first. Okay, so if you believe the word of God, this is what resurrection power is. Resurrection power is the kind of power that didn't need the stone to move by help. When Jesus was in the tomb, that thing got out the way all of its own. Resurrection power works in the midst of death. When everything you've tried to do, when everything that you wanted to see happen, your dreams, all of that junk has died and there's death and nothing works, resurrection power works. When your beauty fades, when you grow older, when you lose your resources, whatever the case may be, God says, listen, I've got resurrection power in you to do what I've called you to do. It's not dependent upon anything around you. That blows my mind. It's a resurrection power. Paul's putting it back to the resurrection. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And then he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Jesus. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. The power in that. So check this out. Paul was only limited to the faith that he had when he had it. But as Paul grew in his faith with God, so did his gifts. And he stepped out and he said, listen, there's a kind of power that I want to know and I want to grow and I want to develop in, because I don't need to have support around me. I don't have to have people praying over me all the time and telling me, hey, you're doing a great job, because guess what? Sometimes people just don't care. But you know what? Doesn't matter. God has gifted you, not restricted you. Now listen, would you guys stand with me this morning? We're going to close out in prayer, but I want you to remember this. You are gifted. Not restricted. You're gifted. And it's important that we realize what I just said, because listen, a lot of the time we go about like we're restricted. We're not smart enough. We don't know enough. Can't make a big enough impact. Whatever the case may be, I'm never going to get through this thing that I'm going through. I just can't do it. Yeah, you're right. But God can, and he does it. I'm standing here before you today as a miracle, telling you God will do it in you if you just submit to him. And so listen, there's a few people here today, and maybe, you know, when we come in here today and you hear about this, that you're gifted and that God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly more in you and through you. You know, for some people, they don't even want to know that. They don't want to know that they are gifted by God, because then they're going to have to act on them. And that's going to cost you some time. It might cost you some money. It might cost you some relationships. It might cost you, it's going to jack up your schedule. And so what happens is some people are just like, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I want to surrender to that. Listen, this is a wake-up call. And God's saying, whatever you think you can do for you, I can do it better. Let it go. Surrender to me. And then there's some others of us who have stepped out and we're like, man, you know what? I've tried. I wanted to step out. I thought I was gifted. I've tried to do it before and it failed. Do it in his energy, not yours. Do it in his strength, not yours. Do it from a place of rest, And others of us, hey, listen, I want to encourage you guys. Those of you who are like, you know what? God has gifted me. I do know what it is. I've been stepping out on it in faith, and I've been seeing God do amazing things. I want to encourage you guys to keep doing that. I'm so thankful for people like that in our church. Scott and Tammy. They've seen this church, and as we're growing, and we are growing, God's doing amazing things. They've been there from the beginning, just like seeing us at the lowest and the worst and in a garage with oily floors all over the place. But they stepped up, and they had the gift of giving, and they had the gift of being there. And God's done amazing things. And I'm so thankful for people like them. For Michelle out there. You know what that girl's doing out there is so important? She makes sure that everybody that walks in here knows that they are recognized. Everybody. And I'm thankful for that because we had a void there. And I'm so thankful for people like Donna and Kathy and all of you guys coming together as a body, exercising your gifts to the glory of God and watching Him work in that. And I can only imagine what He's going to continue to do. And I want to encourage you guys. Ministry starts at home. Take care of your family first. Make sure you're stepping out and watch what God does when He works in it. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we love You. And I want to pray for the one who came in here today who needs to surrender their life to You. That You've been speaking to them, trying to get a hold of them, Lord. That they realize that there's power in Your resurrection. That, Lord, the gifts we have costed You Your life. Lord, the gifts we have costed You Your life. Oh, God, I pray. My heart's sincere prayer is that we don't walk out these doors and think that what You've given inside of us is anything but miraculous. Thank You for dying for our sins. Thank You for redeeming us back from this world, from the devil and sin, God, and our rebellion, and that You've given us grace. You've washed us clean, white as snow. And if you're here today and you haven't made a decision to give your life over to Christ and see what He will do in you, this is your moment. This is your opportunity to confess your sins. Say, Father, forgive me. Lord, I come to You and I trust in the finished work of the cross for my sins. I receive now by faith that grace which You've given me that I didn't deserve, that I didn't earn, but that I needed so bad. And God, I put my faith and my trust in You now, and I pray that now as I put my life in You that You do a work in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to close out in one worship song. But I want you guys to remember this. We're gifted, not restricted. Do you believe it? All right, let's give God praise.